step out of wherever you are working, like just step out of it. So mm-hmm. if you're in your workspace, you are working, you feel like that's it, just log out. If you want to go out, go out. If you want to watch movies, watch movies. If you want to do anything aside working.
Your deadline is by. Dun dun. All right, guys. Welcome to another episode of Jackie Talks. And in this episode, we'll be talking about navigating Creative Blog and, you know, ways to go about it, right? But before that, you know how we do it. We are going to talk to one of these guys. I don't know who's taking it. Stand up. Who's taking it? Stand up. Stand up. All right, listen.
Okay.
Quentos. Quentos. Listen, talk to us.
Yeah, so what am I working on? Assurance. Mm-hmm. So like I said, yeah, building a platform to help average Ghanaians to get affordable rentals. And we tried solving it the hard way. I mean, the usual way of going about this, where we started profiling like places and also getting homes that are up for rent, right? We get them, get our own database. If someone needs help with getting a particular place, then we let the person know, okay, this place is available. And we noticed it wasn't sustainable. Mm-hmm. Plus also there was issues with the money. Like, you know, even affordable in itself is relative.
Yeah.
So maybe 1,000 CDs a month might be okay for someone, but then might be really expensive. So looking at that, we decided to pivot away from we getting, looking for places, but then rather look at ways we could leverage agents mm-hmm. to help us with the search and also with the verification and all that. Because at the end of the day, we don't want a platform where we have $5,000 rent. It's meant for Ghanaians. So we are trying our best to get, like I said, in quotes, affordable rentals, but then we don't want it to also affect us in the long run. So currently we are trying to pivot and hopefully we will get to see the result of the pivot. So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. You get a question from?
Why do I ask question?
Maybe you don't understand what you said. All right. Creative Blog. I mean, in our last... Maybe this spot. Maybe this spot. In our last episode, where we were talking about creative, you know, building your creative muscles and all that. But then we have to understand that there are times where, like, Charlie, we be actually, like, you can't do everything and you just realize that the ideas are just not coming, right? I just want you to share experience. Have you been in that position where, like, you feel like, nah, Charlie, I need to take, you know, a chill, just relax, you know, that? Have you been in that position before?
Yeah, so many times. I mean,
in your experience?
Yeah, so there's been cases where coming up with ideas becomes difficult just because mm-hmm. I'm stressed out and there's a lot going on. Okay. So I can't really think like the way I would normally. Yes. So with regards to the experience, yes, I have experienced like so many.
Okay. So many occasions. There's no particular one you can pinpoint.
Oh, share. Yeah. Last 2 years, yes, I was working on so many projects. The reason was I wanted to put a lot more on my portfolio, a lot more projects on my portfolio, because I noticed I was stuck with one, but like I was building on just one, but then I wanted several, like, so I started taking more gigs. And normally what I do is when, I'm not recommending this, but normally when I need projects, I start like putting out my work.
Okay.
So that people, so that people will see them, they reach out. And it normally works, especially on LinkedIn. So what happened was I started getting more like gigs. People were reaching out to me. And yeah, when they reach out, they tell me, oh, yeah, my mind, they make you hop on now. Sometimes the money is not so good, but then because I wanted more projects, I just take it. And eventually, it took like this wrong turn where I started like feeling stressed out. Sometimes I wake up, Charlie, the brain would work. Like you can feel the stress all over your body. And I noticed it was because of me taking on so many projects, me leading on so many projects. So yeah, that's when I decided to cut some of them off, focus on one thing. Then yeah, I took, and funny enough, I took longer time to recover. Meanwhile, if I was probably taking breaks within yeah, and also considering the number of projects, also accounting for the number of projects I did, I think, and delegation.
Right.
So what I did was, some of the projects that I was completely done with, like almost done, sorry, I just completed. When it was like fresh, it's either I let it go, I recommend outsource for someone to do it. Yeah, so last 2 years was...
Okay.
Yes.
So you're creative blocking from stress. Right?
Yes,
we'll tackle that later. Before I go to Sam, I'll just share an experience. Also, I think that was last year. Last 3 years, almost every year. And I feel it's the same thing. Like, it gets to the point where you're so much overwhelmed with the things you are doing. That's, yeah. Like, you sit behind a laptop and you're like, Charlie, I think somewhere last quarter last year, I was so tired, right? So in December, I did more, like less work. And in January, which is this month, I just came for first. And there was a change, you understand? Because yeah. Like in the last 3 months of last year, I was working so much, so many projects. You wake up and then in your head, you don't know which one you want to tackle first because both of them have, you know, all of them have closed deadlines, you know, so much requirements from the clients and all that. So you just get lost in your thoughts. So even if you are trying to come up with something, you are just confused, if I should say. So I think I really understand that part, especially when it comes to stress, being overwhelmed. And I think sometimes it's a mistake on our part because it's that we want to put more projects on our work and our portfolio, or we want to get more extra, you know, money. You understand? But sometimes you think about it and you're like, is this stress really worth
it?
The you know, the money they are giving me and all that. But I guess it is what it is. We learn from it. And if, or only if we realize that, okay, even if I'm going to take more projects, let me just, you know, put those breaks inside, like we're saying, it took you longer time to recover. But then, Anka, if you put those little measurements in place, those little measures in place, little breaks and all that, taking, you know, 2 days off, one day, just relax and all that. Really, because see, yeah, last year, I wake up from bed, the energy to wake up from bed, leave my room, go to the, take my laptop, that alone seemed like a lot.
Yeah.
That's because I was just stressed. You know, it's something different. Hey! I've been seeing myself in there. Akata.
Awesome.
I said that about creative vlog. Any experience you like to share?
Charlie. Maybe I did yourself a block, but
yeah, I can tell.
Creative block. I mean, basically the same thing you guys talk about. Yeah, it just comes from, at least in my case, I don't know about this, but yeah, mainly from stress. And the stress is typically caused by wanting to do too much or having to do too much. So yeah, I guess when it comes to the how to remedy it or how to prevent it, I'll speak more, but I think that's basically it.
Okay. One thing, I mean, stress is a factor, right? But the one thing I also realize sometimes is, let's say you pick up a project, and I think we're talking about questions in one of the episodes. Sometimes lack of understanding for a particular project also kind of blocks certain creativity, because it's like you don't know so much about the product or the project you're working on to kind of explore. I don't know if you get what I'm saying, because sometimes I can, and me, I'll ask you questions, the client, because I don't want to get to the point where now I'm assuming for the client, because then sometimes you take the project, you feel like, okay, you understand it. You start it, start putting things, you know, pen on paper, start kind of doing research, and then you realize, okay, you have little to no understanding on this, and then it kind of blocks that, how do you call it, creative flow, if I should say that, okay, I want to try this, but because you have little or less understanding, you're unable to go about that. As a designer, right, if you are speaking to clients, how do you go about it in the sense that you're asking the right questions, if I should say, so that if you get to the point where you need to explore, your creativity can flow. Because there, you know, there are some, there may be things that sometimes, like I said, stress is one, but then sometimes also you're not stressed, you just don't understand the thing.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
You just don't understand the thing. So have you been in that position where maybe you found a way to just try and capture everything and all that?
Yeah. So what I normally do is I'll just give an example of a project I worked on. So it was a feature, actually. It was a webhook feature. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've heard of webhooks, but then to design for one, I was kind of confused. Right. They were like, oh yeah, we need a webhook feature for this. And yeah, design like, design something. But, and in my head, I'm like, what the hell am I designing? So what I did was to let them know that I need time to understand what we're actually building. So that was me actually understanding what even webhook is. You get it. Understand the basics of webhook. How other products or companies are going about implementing webhooks. How are they doing? You get it. Then it helped me get like a fair idea of what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And I also played with some of the features, like how some of the webhooks web, were, mm-hmm. to get a feel of it. So that helped me when I was like asking them questions, because now I have
a fair understanding.
So I knew what we needed, and I was asking questions on, do we need this? Do we need that? How are you trying to do this, right? So later on, when I was designing for it, it was very easy compared to when probably if I didn't consider that and they told me, I'm like, okay, I'll design. Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the understanding, can you ask the right questions?
Exactly. So normally I try to understand what they are even talking about. If I understand what they are doing, right, I can ask questions in mm-hmm. such a way that it would get me at the point where I can actually start doing something. And even if I don't, I have zero knowledge in it, right?
You're still good at it.
Yes, because at the end, I need to fill that gap. Because definitely some of the clients, they come to you, they want something, but they can't really explain it to you the way you want, right? So you can ask them the questions that probably you need, the why, okay, what are they trying to solve? Sometimes they might give you not like a clear picture of what they want to execute. But then I believe you understand then if there is any knowledge gap, fill it on your end.
Right.
And also ask the necessary questions to help you in the research part of like the whole understanding thing.
It's really, I think I have an experience or story, same thing. Yeah. Where I'm working currently, right? They are more into sports. Now, the only sports me I know about is basketball, football. A little knowledge, right? Then I get hired. Well, I mean, I knew before getting hired. It's more about baseball, American mm-hmm. football. Charlie, Ghana, maybe baseball fan, right? Yeah. And I remember the very first call with their product manager when we were explaining this thing, the new terms I was in. I was lost. So after the call, like, after talking, I was like, oh, can she send me this the thing she was showing me? Can she maybe get me something? She was like, yeah, sure, no problem. So I thought, because she sent me some resources. See, that evening, me then the articles, I read, can't learn about baseball, American football, golf, all those things. I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because mm-hmm. we don't even play it here. But then, just to help me understand the product we are building, I had to go and learn all those things. Because, like, they are, an example, they are setting, is a baseball mm-hmm. Pitch analysis. Analysis mm-hmm, app. Mm-hmm. So you take a video, then the AI will kind of look at the video and they give you a recommendation. Okay, you can do your throw better, you can do your leg wall and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I don't understand the variables and the things the result they are giving mm-hmm. at the end of the day, what timing is, what retention is, what all those things are, mean to me design issue. You understand?
Yeah.
So I had to go and understand all those things. And then now when you're designing, you know where to put, because at the beginning when she was talking, I was lost in my head. Hey, how am I going to do this? Right.
Yeah.
But then you learn about baseball. You understand how it works, how they want the AI to work, and the results they want to. And to the point that I think you have to understand the VAE, which is like the back end they had, mm-hmm. right? And how it produces results and all that. Because then now I can just go out on my creativity, because I know that, okay, if the person takes the video, these are the variables and these are the results. So now mm-hmm. I can just. So I think another thing that sometimes just stops you from just getting creative, getting into that zone, coming up with maybe solutions or something, is just that understanding that you lack. Because then you'll not be able to ask the right question.
Akata,
challenging classes. People I want you to get that. Are you your creative block? you lost the.
What's the question again?
Speaking on the topic of understanding and questions, sometimes people have that creative block because they don't understand whatever they are working on, right? They don't have little to no knowledge, so they can't even ask that question and all that. It happened to you before, and how you go about that?
Oh, yeah, I mean, definitely. It happened to me before. One recently, I think, this week. So the I was supposed to work on this issuance report thing. So I can just give a brief on what it's about. So you see, before companies float their stocks for public to buy, you need to go through an agent sort of, right? For that agent to basically take care of that whole thing for them. And then they will float it to the market and say, okay, MTN stock or Standard Chartered stock is available, so come and buy. The public will buy, blah, 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 like that whole process. So I was supposed to work on something like that. I mean, yeah, it got explained to me on the call, but then typically, like when you explain to me, I typically know what to do. But this one, because it was very new, like I hadn't done something like this before, and it was going to integrate with the KYC that I designed. Right, so I needed to understand the intricacies within that MCR to connect it to the KYC and like basically set it up for other projects that might come up that would need to connect to
connect,
it. Yeah. So for that one, I needed to wait for the PRD. So that was what I was saying, that it was when the PRD came in that everything became clear to me. Right. And I was able to design the first flow in like 2 hours. Yeah. Oh, but prior to then, I didn't have a lot of clarity. So it took like a week because I was waiting for that's to come in. But yeah, once it came in, I think I got the clarity I needed to start working on it. So yeah, that one, it definitely happened. That's just one example. There have been like a number in the past. Yeah. Well,
still on the factors of creative blur. I think we spoke about shares, then the understanding. The third one, which most creatives face, is deadlines, right? Sometimes like you want to explore, right? But then you have this tight deadline, then you kind of want to rush things, you know, Bob. And I don't know if we say we just don't like the client. Just, I don't know. But then I've been in that position before, but I've stopped because then it's like, okay, you know that this thing, you can get it done in a month, right? Tell the client 1 week, 2 weeks. Then now you just put that pressure on yourself, right? And I don't know why people do that. I don't know why people do that. But I feel like that is another factor when it comes to, you know, creative blogging. That's something that when I've read it, you'll be good to go. Because then, we're talking about iterations in the last episode, where if you have the chance, you can just explore more, right? And then maybe the second variation will be better than the first, the third better than the first. Are there any other factors aside these three that you feel like causes, you know, creativity, creative blog or stops your creativity from flowing? You feel that stress, I mean, picking on more projects?
I mean, what you mentioned, I do the opposite too. So, instead of like knowing that this will take me a month, then promise a week. If I know, for example, this thing, if I know it will take me like
2 hours,
I'll tell you 1 week.
Yeah, because then when you deliver faster.
Yeah, they are impressed. So, I promise and over deliver. That's what I've been doing since.
I learned that at the beginning of my career there. Fintech company I was working. I met the CEO at Isligon. I forgot the name of the place. And we're talking, feeling like, you have the job. Then he asked me to do a draft. So he was not giving me work before hiring me. He hired me. I was like, oh, I should go and do this. They have a designer. They're going to fire the They're going to fire the designer. They asked me when I can get it done. And I gave him a short timeline. I was like, no. It seems like an easy work, but I shouldn't do that. I was like, okay, I'm listening. Like, you do this. Promise the person, tell the person something long. Give them a long timeline. In their head, they'll be like, okay, this is long. But then now, when you deliver faster, they'll be impressed. And it always works. Like, every single time. It always works. You just have that freedom.
Just gives the impression you're fast. Even though you're not. That's a trick I always use. Free tip for everybody.
It helps. Yeah. Are there any factors, any other factors that you think blocks creativity, if I should say?
Yeah, so I was trying to break it down, like have like external factors and internal factors. So external factors could be stress that's coming from maybe probably your relationships.
Ah, okay.
And the relationships could be romantic or friendly.
Okay.
So yeah, if you then your girlfriend they fight, or you then your wife they fight,
okay,
if it affects, right, or probably if you have family issues that you need to solve, or probably your rent is up, you need money to pay. Those kind of things kind of like affect your creativity in a way.
You design the button step, then your mind will do, hey, wifey, why would they fight? Continue.
So we have the external, and we also have the internal, which probably sometimes caused by our own, in quotes, insecurities.
Okay.
So sometimes when a project, like a big project comes, we are scared that we might fail. So that kind of blocks it in a way. And it's funny how the brain works when...
Once you doubt yourself.
You just shoot yourself in the foot. So normally, for me, I'm not scared of any project. I approach every project with a mentality that I can do it.
You can do it.
Yeah. As long as I have the necessary info to work on it.
And resources.
Resources, good.
True.
So that is some of like... When it comes to the internal factors, I think most times we don't normally consider about the way you perceive the project from like the get-go kind of affects the way you go about the whole like process in the first place. So I believe that first of all, you need to approach the projects with the mentality that
you can do it.
You can do it.
Be open-minded.
Then you start seeing the opportunities, because then if you have that mental, hey, this project, I feel doing, hey, I don't feel. Then when any small challenge pops up, it becomes difficult for you to come up with any solution for that, because already you've psyched your mind in the initial stage that this project is big. So when the challenge just pops up, it kind of buttresses that point you've already made in the initial stages, which, I also feel it's a big issue when it comes to creative block.
Right. But the external factors, you're not finished though. So we'll go back to that place. But on the topic of the internal, I think that's true. People need to open their mind. Me, like you said, you just have to understand or know that you can do it. And when it comes to the part of resources, Charlie, you have YouTube, you have Bando. See, you can learn anything. There's this project happened recently that I had. Make me know. Like, me, I know that I can't do it. I've promised the client that I'll do it. I just went to YouTube, watch a few videos, and then deliver. Because sometimes, like you said, from the get-go, people just doubt it. And then now when they're even working on it, there's no motivation or inspiration to continue, because they just assume they can do it. That's interesting. Back to the external factor. Please, you didn't finish. I mean, I would like to hear some on that one too. The relationship, is it just romantic or is it?
I mean, I'm sure someone has.
Is it just romantic relationships? So you've not had any creative block because of external factors about relationships?
If it happens, that means the...
Talk.
I've not had any creative block because of that. It's usually the... That affects that. Not like
okay,
that
so you have two separate.
So I don't know why Regan is trying to focus on the romantic.
Ashok, it's a design channel.
On the map.
On the map. I said relationships, right?
You said romantic. You added romantic.
I said romantic and friendly relationship. It could be. It could be your best friend. It could be your family. Yeah, family to be relationship.
But romantic is not family.
But I'm saying family to be relationship.
This is not a relationship channel. We'll have to create one though.
So the thing is, if you have something going on, maybe probably it could be a family issue, right? It could be like maybe someone is in the hospital, probably are thinking of ways to cater for the bill or something. Like it could be anything related to that, right? That can affect your creativity in that manner. So that was what I was referring to. Not necessarily just the romantic side of this. Because if you are single, does that mean you can't be affected? If you are single, you get. If you are single, how then do you relate to that?
You're just three bullets. You just take three bullets.
Father!
But,
Father!
But yeah, that's
whatever my wife is. Hey.
Okay, even bringing it to the design, if your relationship with your colleagues at work, mm-hmm, your mm-hmm. bosses, then if it affects your creativity,
true.
Yes.
True.
So there's that.
But what's it? I mean, we've looked at the factors and all that. Now, solutions. Mm-hmm. How do we go about it?
Solutions.
Mm. You're at the point where there's no energy.
Social studies course. Factors, causes, solutions. Okay.
How do they go about it? They are at the point where they can't think straight. The person is blocked. On my bread. I mean, we have somebody on the mountains right now.
China. That's like your preference.
He not even can do this
thing. He has to give us a solution. But yes. He for him, his way was, he just took time off.
Yeah.
From
everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though he's still working, but yeah.
That guy, is Osemba.
Mike, stop working.
Which camera am I looking
at? Mike, stop working.
Osemba, pal.
Instead, Mike over here.
So, yeah, how do you go about this? I believe sometimes you need to step out of wherever you are working. Like, just step out of it. So, mm-hmm. if you're in your workspace, you are working, you feel mm-hmm. like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Just log out. If you want to go out, go out. If you want to watch movies, watch movies. If you want to do anything aside working.
Yeah, the deadline is by.
Oh, definitely you would. So, the thing is, if you wait, hoping that you get the creative juices flowing, eventually the deadline will So, it's better you try something different than later on. And I believe if you're in a company that actually, like, you're in a good company, like, their culture-wise is good, some of these things you will not be stressed about it, right? Because then, like I said, there's some sort of accommodation for these scenarios. So if you are stressed out, they can, take some break. Do you get it? But then it doesn't work for every company. For me, it's all about moving from whatever I'm doing, try and do something different aside work. I play game.
Mm-hmm.
Media game, yeah.
If
I stress, I just go come to play my game. Do you get it? Mm-hmm. Or watch movies, Netflix. Mm-hmm. Or go out, hang out with friends. Just do anything aside what you are doing. I think from there it helps. Maybe you could sleep too. You try to sleep.
Yeah,
but sometimes when I don't sleep, like I don't get my normal sleeping time, it affects the way I work. So I make sure I get enough sleep. If I need to play a game, I do that. I need to.
The last quarter, like I was saying, see, I wake up, force myself to the laptop. If I say it's not working, just shut it down, go and sleep. Just relax. Come back. Come and do a few. I'm not stressing my own.
Yeah.
I just work for the time that my energy or my body can take 20, 30 minutes and I go. And adding to what you said, like just taking a break. Sometimes too, I think last year we had conversations a few times about this when mm-hmm. I was stressed.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to talk to somebody. You don't have to, like, because sometimes I just think in plenty. Mm-hmm. If you have a girl, you just talk to a girl. If you have a girl, you have a boy, like, girl was talking to you. If you have... This guy don't let me talk to him, so
please,
no problem.
If I have a boy, like, please, if you have a friend, like, if you have a boy,
girlfriend, you can talk to
him. If you have a boy, then you say, if you have a boy, then.
And baby, I've been talking to you, and you know my boy.
So,
yeah, so that you just need to. When you win. So that you just need to just talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And we had, like, I think 3 different conversations where we were just talking. At a point, you realize, okay, all these things are just in your head.
Yeah, true. It's
not be that deep. Right? It's just
mm-hmm.
in your head.
And there's this panic too. Normally, when you get that creative block and you panic,
mm-hmm.
it can really prolong that particular phase you are in. Right? So, me, normally, I know it's just a phase. Right? So, when it comes, make a look out.
Just
and is that then about talking to people, that's where community comes in.
Yeah.
So if you have like a good community, design community, you can just hang out. Or probably just ask them the question, maybe what you are struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm trying to design for this and mm-hmm. I'm stuck at this point. Any help? you might be shocked at like responses you might get from that end. Probably might kickstart something that you didn't even expect in the first place. So,
nice.
Yeah.
I got that.
What again?
Oh, you didn't hear the question.
I don't hear the question.
How you go about like your creative blocks?
So how they manage them?
Yeah, overcoming them.
So I mean, again, I think you mentioned the culture.
Yeah.
So depending on the culture you're in, if the company in the culture is good and you understand, then you just have to be honest. Say what your blockers are. I mean, we all have stand-ups.
Yeah.
I think every design team has one. So during the stand-up, you say what you've done, what you're about to do. If you're not able to do something, what's the blockers are or the challenges. So just be honest. Again, I know for a fact companies differ and their cultures may differ. So some companies will not see this as anything. Some companies, yeah, you might get into some form of trouble. But yeah, just the thing is to be honest. It's better they know and see how they can help. If they try and make you feel bad for having a block, and that should tell you all you need to know. And the other one, for me, what I personally do, like if I'm around, because typically I have a lot of things I need to do at the same time, both work-wise and outside. So if I'm overwhelmed and there's so many things running through my mind, what I do is I just sit myself down and say, what can I do right now to clear my mind or make me feel better or make me feel like at least I'm putting in the work? And typically, you know the answer. If you just sit down, it might not come immediately, but after a few seconds or after a minute, if you keep asking yourself, like, what can I do right now? So of all the things I have to do that is making me stressed, what can I do right now to push the needle? The answer will come to you, and then you take action. It doesn't have to be a lot. Maybe just 30 minutes doing nothing. You realize you feel much better. And then once you start it, like I said in the previous episode, there's something called snowball effect. You just keep going. And yeah, that's it. Sometimes you just need to start, but you don't know how to or what to focus on. So yeah, that's typically how I go about it.
Oh, so it's bound to happen. That's what I'm like, I want to say. It's bound to happen. So don't be scared. Don't feel like you're an imposter. It's something that happens in your creative journey. It's a matter of you understanding that, okay, it's bound to happen and I need to relax. Like I said, panic is also an issue where when it happens, you get like, you get scared and sometimes you feel like a fraud. So it's about you understanding this and knowing that it's time for you to actually take a break. Whatever you want to do in that time, make sure it's not that work. You could even switch. So there's this switching when it comes to even working on like design products, right? Maybe probably you are working on a particular feature. You can just switch from that and move to another one, right? It could be that. But then if work-wise, nothing like is really helping, like you are really blocked on that end, just log out, go and sleep, watch movies, play game, whatever you want to do in those times.
Or travel.
Like the way Mike is at
China.
It's in China right now.
Or like some that sometimes.
Yeah.
This is the boy won't talk.
Yeah.
In the mountains somewhere. So yes, just relax. After all, we go through them.
Yeah.
And some, we still they go through.
Some they go through right now for today. You're on bed. All right. Next segment, is there any trending topic in the question of the day?
So trending, what's trending? So issue of titles.
Oh.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Your article. What do you do, Lati? What do you do, Lati?
What article
is it? I mean, so it's an issue I thought we could also discuss on this podcast, where people are obsessed with getting like senior titles. Sometimes they just put it on themselves. Like,
yeah.
They just do 1, 2, 3 design. Hey, I'm a senior designer. Just like that.
Hey, I'm a senior designer.
Or probably someone starting out maybe 6 months in, or then the mentor.
Mentor gonna take you higher. Mentor gonna take you higher.
So for anyone listening, what I mean by Wadani mentor is like that person
is that mentoring others.
Yeah, so
hey, so
people don't
go
fit. Oh, obviously
you're a senior designer. Oh,
yeah, let's talk about it. This over obsession with
titles.
Yeah, titles. And
yeah. Well, me personally, I don't care about titles. Right? You can you do the job? And really here, like that's what people are looking for,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You and I think in your article you mentioned that people are in are in a design team alone,
mm-hmm.
and they're calling themselves designers or design. You know,
yeah,
you understand. You don't need and like I said, you just have to get a job. You don't have to force yourself to get that title because mm-hmm. I don't think that's what gets you the job,
mm-hmm.
right? Like I was telling you that the place I work right now, right? We had the CTO told me when after like I got the job and all that, the very first onboarding call, it was like. He shocked I got it. And I was like, well, it was like there were so many applications.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people had experienced that. Mm-hmm. Me, when it's that time, I was even still using UI, UX design. You understand? I am a product designer. You understand?
Yeah.
I didn't have a portfolio with like, I just had some few works to show for and all that.
Grace of God.
And an empire. You understand? Nobody cares about that.
Yes, yes,
like
yes.
They are looking at what you can do, yes, what you are bringing to the company and all that. So, people in a rush to title themselves senior designer, design lead. If you're when you're the only designer, oh come on, come on. On the mentor part, this triple is
nah, mentor this.
Oh
yeah, no,
you got 8 years experience.
So definitely you've seen this bullets, issue. Yeah, so
bullets.
Oh, on the mentor part, I feel like I like the idea of teaching while you're learning. I like the idea. But I feel like some people just rush. Because, I mean, you have 6 months of experience. Yes, maybe you can teach somebody something. But you don't have to take the title. That is, like, you go for I want the titles, no? Because, yeah, I feel like sometimes you put the title on yourself so much that you don't even look at growing again. Because you call yourself a senior designer. Okay, then what, like, you understand? Mm-hmm. You feel like you reach. But then, like, we were saying the last time, there are so many things to learn, you understand? There are mm-hmm. so many things to learn. You don't have to give yourself titles. Like, I like the idea of teaching while you're learning. You can teach people, help people with your 6 months experience without calling yourself a mentor.
True.
Let the people with 20 years experience call themselves mentors. So, on the topic of titles, they don't overdo, basically.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. The straight bullets. Mentor. Oh, I think you said it in the last episode. One of them said, oh, your mentor is here.
You like this bullet.
You get
20
years of experience.
I get 20 years of experience.
Yeah.
Because me, my Instagram, I'm senior product designer.
You
want to? Senior product designer on my Instagram.
You don't have to do
straight bullets. Oh, it's me, baby.
Years of experience.
I don't want to concern you.
Because, I mean,
let's focus on the topic. So it's titles, obsession.
Maybe it's just the way my personality is. I can't be bothered. I don't give two fucks.
You don't care. Yeah.
Whatever I want, call your body. At the end of the day, your work will prove.
Your work will prove.
If you go and interview and you call your body senior product designer and you're asking you senior product designer things and you come back, it's the day you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the amount of money they get me. Sorry if I switched to pigeon. I'm saying what's on my heart. The money I get me, I don't get some. So if you want to call yourself this, call yourself that. I mean, I can't be bothered. I don't wake up and follow people. if you want to mentor people, me, I don't really care. Like it's not something I think about. But then again, just let your work show for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So yeah, if you want to call yourself senior product designer after 2 projects, all fine and good. Mm-hmm. Just
2 projects.
Show working. Maybe I don't care, but don't let other people drag you because they are not able to match your work mm-hmm. to the title you are giving yourself. And if you want to be a mentor, I always believe that no matter your level, there's always something you can teach another person because there's always someone below you, no matter your level. So maybe you can teach, but mentoring or calling yourself a mentor, that's like a different level. I don't care. Do whatever you want, but just be honest with yourself and know exactly where you are, the things you know. And if you actually feel like you're in the right position to guide someone from zero to a certain level where they'll get a job and be confident in that job, Mm-hmm. Right? I know for me, I don't like to talk about this, but I've helped quite a number of people to get into jobs from zero to junior. So again, I don't care. Do whatever they want.
Please, how do we sign up for your mentorship?
I can't be bothered. Do whatever they want. It doesn't put money in my pocket. It doesn't put food over the table. No, because I really don't care. Like, just at the end of the show working. Because talk about senior product designers, I know in my mind, like, the people that will come to mind if you talk about senior product designers. So if you're calling yourself one, ask yourself, if you ask other people within your circle, not like people who do not know you, other people within your circle, if they should mention senior product designers, would they mention your name?
Mention your name, true.
Or more, show working. Yeah, that's what I say. Because, let me leave it
there. The design lead team is here. Design lead by Adoli.
Adoli. So, one thing I also, like, believe in is the fact that your value needs to, like, speak for itself. So, one thing I'm constantly doing is, like, trying to upgrade. Because if you, let's say, I'm in your company, I'm doing this, right? And next year, I come to you and I've not improved.
The same thing.
To me, I've not really done anything. Yeah. Plus, also, if I did bargain for, you know what I mean, like money.
I don't want you to talk money. You know what I mean.
So money wise too, I can't really back that up because then you have nothing to show.
Nothing new to provide.
Do you get it? So for me, I'm constantly improving to the point that when it's time for personal assessment or review, you have more nothing to say in terms of this thing, like senior designer or whatever. You really know reach there. Because for me, what I'm doing, I have this metric thing, right? So I read this book about moving from how to move from junior to senior. And they looked at the industry as a whole, what you need in terms of like skill set as a senior. So sometimes I just do this self-evaluation thing to see where I am. So normally I don't need you to validate that. I'm actually like a senior. Do you get it? That's where your work comes in. Because then I have like proof to that particular claim. Do you get it? So yeah, I'll buttress on Sam's points where your work needs to like speak for itself. And then that'll be what you go show. That's it for
this episode.
Yeah, what's trending?
Hi to the senior designers and design leads. All right.
Do you have a question of the day?
No.
The question of the day. Okay. I mean, if you talk, like, what's one indication of someone who's a senior designer versus a junior designer?
Someone who's what?
A senior designer versus a junior or middle level.
Yeah. For me, I think the technical expertise, which is for a designer, it's your visual skill, right? So for that, it's very easy to prove that because you show your work, but then I believe for a senior designer, it's about your collaboration, communication, and how you lead the team, right? Because the way you go about handling stakeholder conversations, getting them on board, aligning with them, right? And moving that from like ideation to final like production or in the market, that's what I believe is like the difference between a senior and a junior. Because that would definitely, for a junior, when it comes to these convos, navigating it is very difficult for them. But for a senior, if you want to know if that person is really a senior, that particular thing for me is like the key differentiator.
Why do you call me senior designer?
Depend it on your value.
I'm into that simple.
Now one they need. The difference for me, the very clear one to me is when you have a conversation with them and they are very fixated on Figma auto layout color. That's all the indication I need. You are still young, so you have to grow.
Okay, who goes?
Yeah, some of
them. Okay. I don't know. And the oh God, please continue.
No, that's basically it for me. That's the all the indication I need.
Still.
No, because if you are speaking with them, maybe you are trying to have conversations with them around like a product, proper product, and they are very fixated on like the things, the confidence of Figma.
If the person is speaking and you don't hear that, then you assume the person is this.
Yeah, so it's not like I don't hear that. Again, like you need to, again, you need to realize that there's a lot more that goes into building a product than just the design.
Right.
In quotes, right? It's whatever I do with Figma. Yes, it's a skill set. You need to be very good at it. But at the end of the day, nobody cares. Nobody cares. People ship products without designing in Figma. Like, nobody cares. Right? People ship successful products. This is the reason I'm not buying. People ship successful products without designing in Figma.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot more that goes into it. And even after the design, like, you design in Figma, there's so much that happens. Yeah. Like, imagine a design sprint is not a design sprint. A sprint is 2 weeks, but designing is not part of that 2 weeks, right? And there's a design sprint. That that sprint is a week, right? So ask yourself. And even after the sprint, there's a lot more that goes. It takes from design to shipping of that feature. It takes months, and design takes like a week, right? Yeah. Give or take, maybe 2 weeks, depending on how complex the feature is, or maybe a month. But yeah, if that the more that feature is complex. Like, it takes a long time for that thing to move from design to like an actual shipped product. So yeah, I mean, if I'm having a conversation with you about a product and you keep talking about layout and feel like this color would be, or I wanted to use two layouts, or
okay, point made. So
my brain the ache.
Point made on that part. So on the senior designer. What kind of, how do I word it?
Conversations.
What, what kind of things would you normally hear from? For I want to learn. So.
I mean, not again, not you.
No.
You all start from somewhere. I'm not shading anybody, but I'm just saying what it is, so you can learn from that. Because, for example, conversations, if especially if you're building a product, in a company that has a product, like there's so many other aspects.
Okay.
Of that product. Typically, you won't be the only person working on that product. You're probably working on just a feature. That is if you are not the only designer, the other designers. Even if they are the only designer, that product still has multiple features. I mean, are the only designer, so you understand.
Yeah.
Right, so like you need to, there's something called systems thinking, not design systems, systems thinking. Like how what you are building interconnects with everything else. Right, like such conversations.
Oh, that's what you would like to hear more.
You get to, like things that actually push the needle, because that's what sets you apart.
Right.
Because you can talk about design, but again, the stakeholders will be the one who promotes you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't care about your Figma. They really do not care. Like, I don't know how many times you can emphasize. They really do not care. All they care about is that, yo, this thing is out. It is making money. It is doing what it's intended to. And you need to be able to have these conversations. And that is how you communicate your value as a designer. Right. Let them know that, like, you are thinking about this product. And you are thinking about this feature, how this feature connects with this feature, and how this feature might set up another feature coming down in the future, like later down the line, right? So one of the things I talk about, other PM I used to work with, well, he messaged me yesterday, and I prefer to call me.
Oh, that'd be
a he messaged me yesterday and was asking me, I think I can read out what I sent him. He was asking me, like, as a designer, or as a senior designer, as he likes to put it, what are some of the things I expect from... like a PM.
Okay.
To make a reader question. Yeah. So he said, he want me some more. So as a senior designer, what are 5 main things you expect and don't expect? Both can add up to 5 from a product manager in order to make workflow progress seamlessly. And yeah, I joked. That's one of the exams they asked me. But this is what I said. I said, for me, number one has to be documentation skills. The PM has to have the ability to write clearly defined requirements for a project, have a roadmap of feature releases of at least 2 quarters for the product or feature domain that we are in, right? They understand that, right? And the second one was like, number two has to be respecting the craft and skill set of each team member and trusting that they will do their best work unless they've proven beyond reasonable doubt that they can't. And this goes both ways. The designer or developer needs to also trust that the PM can do their work. Number three for me is having a collaborative approach to work and involving design throughout the decision-making process instead of treating it as an afterthought, afterthought or just beautification. Mm-hmm. Number four, what I don't expect a PM to know design or engineering that much. Mm-hmm. There are dedicated people for those roles. The PM just needs to know how to communicate well. Mm-hmm. This includes his vision for the product and what he or she expects for a task. Number five, I'll say, is understanding your team's capabilities and bandwidth, which is also crucial, just so you don't go making promises to management or certain stakeholders that are not feasible. Mm-hmm. So these are the five things. I'm going to explain like each of them. Right. So the documentation one, that one, it gets me into trouble before. I think I mentioned before, or I know I mentioned mm-hmm. to you before.
Well,
my previous workplace, the documentation one, it gets me into trouble. I go ask for if they have documentation of what they are talking about. They didn't have. And that thing gets me into trouble. Those who know, know. Right. Mainly because like, whenever we are doing something, right, we will do something and then go and hit a roadblock and realize, this won't work. Right. And then realize, this is why. And then realize, we actually did this before in the past and this is why it did not work. But because nobody documented it, they repeated that same mistake. And that's something that I always want like each team to avoid. So if you have a documentation, proper documentation of why we took certain actions, why we are doing certain things, then we know, say, okay, this won't work for ABC. So in the future, we know this, unless something changes. And that'd be why I feel like the documentation they need. And also like a roadmap of feature releases. Remember I said something about systems thinking and how to connect things to other features and things that might come out. So if you have a clear roadmap of like maybe like a feature, right, of things that could come down the line. Remember even Junkyard, we're saying we'll eventually get to the point where we'll like have an account set up and track people's like usage patterns and everything. So like if you have this roadmap, then your team can work towards that. They don't have to wait for you to give them a task. Because if they don't know that, like what is coming, then that's where they'll just be working for you. They won't be proactive. They'll wait for you to give them a task. But if they have a clear vision of what you want to achieve, at least for the next two quarters, they know, even if they're free,
they can pick up something that
pushes their needle towards that. Ibab. Then the second one, respecting the craft. I mean, I don't like when people tell me what to do. And I naturally trust people by default to do what you want to do. Unless like you try show me signs and say you can't. Then it'll frustrate me because I don't like to micromanage. And I don't like people to micromanage me. Right? Because if especially if in a company and they pay you and somebody they micromanage you, why didn't they pay you?
Yeah.
Right? And if you are the one who hired me and you micromanage me, like why did you hire me in the first place? And the collaborative approach, I think it goes without saying. And one of the things, even this guy, I did it for him because I realized there was this process map where they go through the process, like getting the requirements and everything. Then I realized they skipped the design and they just jumped straight to development. And I was like, why? Where is design? There's no design in there. He said, design is part of the development. I'm like, it's not part. Like, maybe I will blast you, wake everybody to see how they blast you. Right? So, I mean, I was vocal about it. But then, it's not like I was blasting, but I was vocal about it. So he knows that this is not something we can skip. Right? So then later, like, he brought the documents and then I saw he's put design. And he's a very collaborative person. So he worked on it. And then, we ended up having something that was good for everybody. So now if anybody, maybe management or anywhere, any new person comes, you know the design is an important thing. It's not something that is just, you are a beauty guy. Mm-hmm. You make things beautiful. It doesn't work that way. And the PM doesn't need to know design engineering that much. The same thing as designers. You see, sometimes you see job requirements or there's this debate, designers need to know how to code. It's not really that too. Again, you cannot code better than someone who has dedicated their whole life or their whole career to code. They just want someone who can communicate with the devs well. So you'll be in sync and you won't make something outrageous, quote unquote. The same thing we talk about. So the same thing, you're a PM, I can't do your work. And I don't expect you to know how to do mine. Right? So don't worry yourself about knowing design terms or anything. Right? There was this one example at my previous workplace. There was this PM. We were designing a website landing page and she was giving some terms. How she understood that term was different from the actual meaning of that term. And then it was confusing me. And I asked her to explain it in like simple English. And then she explained it and I was like, no, that's what you are saying, that's not what it is. I forgot what exactly she said. But what you're saying, that's not what it is. And then I told her, if you're speaking with me, don't try to do any design, like you know design. You don't know design better than me. So just speak simple English. Because me, I don't speak any design terms if I'm speaking to somebody.
I don't try to impress you by speaking any big design. Because myself, I don't even know the design, but I just know how to do the work. Right. And which one is the last one? Understanding your team's capabilities. I think that one everybody knows.
Yeah. You've
all been there where you go take some feature away. You know, so this feature will take like 2 months. My room promise it 3 weeks. Then everybody the wire. So you see, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. So I feel like some of these conversations are what you push. Right. On average, these things, you can have these things with management, but you can't talk about auto layout management.
No.
You can't talk about colors management. No, no. They don't really care, but they care about these things because that's what makes the company run.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's what brings in them money. Like, it sets everything up. That'd be what I'd be, well, for me, that's if I'm speaking with someone and you start saying this and I know, okay, at least you are there.
Okay.
But if you start saying other things that are within the confines of Figma, then I know, okay, you're not really rich. But which is fine, because again, everybody has to go. When I started, I didn't know all these things. But you learn through experience.
It's a journey.
Yeah, so, yeah, make nobody stress you. If you want to use the title, use the title. But let your work back.
Don't mind them.
Yeah, Stephanie.
We are. Again, hi to the senior designers. All right. I guess that'll be it for this episode. We'll catch you.
You guys will talk anytime on this.
In the next one. We are trying.
723.
On a song, they be you.
Yeah, they're talking about. I forget the rhythm. You bring the song. Sing the thing.
I forget the one. So the Eminem one.
Yes. Don't bring the song. I come to sing. Hey.
Guess who's back?
Back again.
Let's check.
Oh, God.